Okay, we're good to go. Okay, I just Devori, as I'm looking at your face, I wanna I'm really excited about this. I can't be anything but myself and personal. I had the unbelievable privilege of being on a summit, a 3-day summit with Devori last year in December, and it was life-changing. And for all of you that are coming on behalf of the Chizuk Mission, many of you have been here before and have been a part of this. I always say no old faces, just very, very faces that we're very close to, and many, many new faces. But what we experienced, Devori, on that sheer summit was what really happens on this Chizuk Mission. And it's really, it's the deepest, deepest of connection through Panemius of Torah. And women coming together from all different backgrounds, ages and stages and different lifestyles, but at the end of it all, we are all one, and we just want to be close, and we want to be close to Hashem, to each other. And I want to welcome you because you personify, and that little bit of time that I had with you and the little conversations that I had, I knew that I was sitting next to somebody who was very, very beautifully quiet and beautifully, beautifully a strength, and something that I wanted personally to get to know much more. And Hashem made it that that our paths crossed and we get to be together. So, ladies, anybody that is, coming on for the first time, I welcome you, and we're in for a very, very special treat. I just want to ask that the learning that we do today, Aviv is going to mention different names, Refuah Shleima, and but I want to savor a very special rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo Asher Ben Adina, who is in need of a tremendous Refuah Shleima. It should be Refuah Shleima for him and for Refuahs and Yeshuas and Geula for all of us. And without further ado, Aviva.
Hi everyone. Thank you so much. This class is Leilu Nishmas Ruchama Chaya from Abbas Dov Pinchas, Sheindel Bas Moshe, Rav Yisrael Noach ben Yitzchak Matisyahu, Rebbetzin Dina Bas Elchanan, Rav Zecharia Shimon ben Yitzchak HaKohen, Chana Mendel Bas Yisrael, and Masha Sarah Bas Yisrael Levin, and Refuah Shleima to Zecharia Dov ben Peril Shira, Rafael Chaya Meir ben Sima Chasha, Liba Ahuva Bas Chana Riva, Pesach Betzal ben Chaya bat Sheva, Ariella Chava bas Chana Malka, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yehudis, and again Shlomo Asher ben Adina. Welcome everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome, Devari.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for coming. It's so nice to be here. And the topic that I'm going to talk about today is Elul. And I find that every single season, every single month, every single portion of the year has its beauty, has its gifts, it has its lessons, has its challenges. And it's beautiful that when we are in a specific time that we're able to really understand where we are and connect to it. The Lubavitcher Rebbe had a saying, live with the times. And he was referring to understanding that there's different spiritual energies that shine at different times throughout the year, starting with every single week. We have a different parsha, and that parsha literally carries the energy or the frequency of that week. And as we go through cycles, we have different seasons, we have different Yomim Tovim, we have different months, and each month carries its own frequency, it has its own powerful days within it, has its own opportunities. And we're finding ourselves now in Elul. And so Elul is the acronym for Elul is Ani Vedoidi Vedoidi Li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. And what I find fascinating about this acronym is it's really defining the frequency of Elul, which is coming back into relationship with God, coming back almost into the dating phase, coming back into the recognition that there is an I, there's a me, and there's a you, there's an other. And what does that mean? So we start out with understanding that the entire purpose of the creation of this universe and also the creation of all the concealment of God's light is so that there can be such a thing as relationship, that relationship can exist, and that there are many, many different phases to relationship that we each go through, starting from when we're in utero, when we're born, when we start out as children, to when we become fully mature adults, and how we relate in our fully matured state of being. So let's look at the different cycles for a second of relationship. We start out when we're in utero. We are completely dependent on our mothers. We are completely nourished by them all of the time. We're within them. We're one with them. There actually is no way that we can exist with our own separate sense of self outside of utero until we have fully developed to some degree inside. And so this is the first stage. This is the stage of attachment. This is the stage of oneness. And the process of pregnancy, where there's things developing behind the scene, preparing for this experience of coming into separateness, coming into an I, coming into an individuated human being. Then you have the birth process. And when we're born, our umbilical cords are cut, and we start out ex having for the first time to breathe for ourselves, to eat for ourselves, to actually be separate than our mothers. But we also don't have a fully formed psychological perception of ourselves yet. And we go through a process throughout the course of our lives, starting from our early years, where we actually experience ourselves first to be a continuation of our mothers. We don't experience ourselves to be separate from them anymore. We go through a phase where we actually don't see our mothers as an actual being. We see our mothers as just the provider of all of our needs. And when things don't go the way that we want, we throw a fit, we cry, we scream, we throw things. And our mothers don't exist to us as someone to be interested about or to think of their intelligence or who they are or how they came to be here or what they did for us in any kind of way. All they are is am I going to get what I need? Am I not going to get what I need? What you can call it, like an ATM of sorts, or a vending machine. This is how we relate to them from the start out of our life. And slowly, hopefully, as we go through the different phases, moving into the teenage years where we start to actually individuate, where we start to actually see our parents. Often we put our parents when we're very young on a pedestal, and then we kick them off the pedestal through our teenage years. We go through some kind of process of individuation where we start actually withholding certain things and trying to find ourselves and searching for ourselves. And ultimately, hopefully, we will grow into a more mature relationship with our parents as time goes on, where we start to see them as human beings who did the best that they could, who were there for us in so many ways, who did so many things for us that we couldn't possibly even imagine. And the challenges they went through and the love that they gave us, of course, because they're humans in their own limited way. But as we go through our own process of maturation, we can come and meet them face to face, adult to adult, especially when we end up having our own kids and we realize, wow, that was, what a huge challenge it is to actually stay sane through that process. So slowly we start to see them through different eyes. And this is really the beginning of how we are to understand our relationship with God as a soul that comes into this world, that as we are birthed through the birth canal, our memories are wiped, and we know we came from somewhere. Every single soul is absolutely one with God, and it always was and always will be one with God, in the same way that all the sunlight that exists in the world will always be one with the sun. Even if you have a house that has a window and a ray of light is shining through that window, that ray of light is still connected to all the other sunlight that exists everywhere in the universe and the sun itself. Because if you wanted to take a jar and put sunlight in it, and then take that jar and put it in your house somewhere that was out of the line of sunlight, you would lose it. There's no way that you can actually separate a ray of sunlight from the sun. And this is exactly the same truth about our souls as human beings. Our souls are always intimately connected with each other and connected to God, except that God has created a consciousness. He's created a universe. A world is a lens of consciousness. He's created a lens of consciousness where we experience ourselves to be separate from him, and we experience ourselves to be separate from each other, so that we can have the experience of finding ourselves and developing ourselves, and then coming from a place of free choice into relationship with God, where we are going to start to actually say, hold on a second, who am I and who is God? And what's this relationship between us? And so the process begins with us being born into this realm of consciousness, which means I now have a body and I am now limited by the rules of this universe. And the rules of this universe are that you only see the external, you don't see the internal. You only see what's outside before you see what's inside. When you look at someone's face, you see their skin, you don't see their brain, and you don't see their thoughts, and you don't see their emotions. Of course, you can see expressions of that on people's faces, but people can also hide that. You can't see through walls. You can't see from one end of the world to the other, which a soul can in utero. And there is a certain parameter, there's boundaries, there's parameters to existence when we come into this world. And one of the things that happens, it says this in the end of Gemara Nida, is that an angel comes and taps us on the lip. And what that does is it wipes our memory and everything that we've known, everything that we've come from. It's a clean slate now. We start out from scratch. And then what happens is that the animal soul within us, which is the survival instinct, is what begins to develop from the beginning part of our life, which is how am I going to survive this world? How am I going to stay in existence here and actually be able to live? And so we cry when we're hungry, and we cry when we hurt ourselves, and we start to figure out how to manage the relationships with the people around us that are there all of the time. And we start to figure out our mother's moods, and we start to figure out how the family system works, and we start to figure out how we're going to get our needs met within the family system. But we're still always coming from this lens of the survival instinct and the animal soul. And this is what we call the mini me world. This is the beginning of establishing a sense of me. And within that sense of beginning to develop the sense of self, there is also a divine soul that the Alter Rebbe explains is like a candle that is always constantly flickering, flickering to go up, wanting to leave, wanting to go up. So we have these two souls that exist inside of us, one that is pulling us down into survival and into reality, survive at all costs, and the other that's just saying, I want more. I want to connect to something greater than myself. I know there's more. There's something out there. There's something I need. There's something I want. And it's this constant existential niggling that's going to be there in the back of our psyche. It's at the core of our being. Wrapped around that is our animal soul. And together, and then they invest or are infused within our bodies. And starting out in the beginning of our life, these parts of our psyche are often in conflict. They're living in conflict with each other. There's a polarity that we're existing with that is often fighting with itself. So I want this and I want the opposite. Always fighting with itself. The course of our life or the work that we go through is the process of learning how to hold this duality within ourselves and also within the world around us, to be able to understand or acknowledge fully what it means to be myself and an other, to be within and to be without, to be in relationship with, and then to take that into the greater picture and find ourselves and find God within it. And so there is this process that we go through, like I was saying, where our animal soul develops, and then slowly we start asking deeper questions. We start having more access to that drive that is pulling us to something more. Then we are pulled back into our survival, and we're going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. As we develop our capacity to see more than one perspective on life, this is the symptom that we are actually maturing. We are beginning to actually develop our capacity to acknowledge that my survival is just one lens of reality. Others also exist. This is the example I was giving of the child recognizing that, oh, my mother actually exists and she actually may have nerve endings. So if I kick her, she may get hurt. Or anything along those lines. Or she's actually a person that has her own thoughts and feelings and wisdom that maybe if I listen, I may get to hear something of what she's saying, not through my own lens of whether I like what she's saying, I don't like what she's saying, whether it serves me, it doesn't serve me, but who is she? Who is she outside of my own childlike perspective of who I want her to be or who I need her to be or who I imagine she is? And this is true not only with our parents, but also with our spouses, and like I said, ultimately to God. And so let's bring this back to Elul and to acknowledge if we are in the month of Elul and we are acknowledging that, what does it mean to be in relationship with God? How do we step into relationship with something outside of ourselves that is so much greater than ourselves? And really begin to see that God is not, to begin to see God not through our own survival lens, not through the lens of who I think God is, or what I want God to be, or what I think God should be, or what my childhood imprints or fantasies about God were, but from a much more realistic, letting those perspectives crumble, and from a much more curious, open, humble perspective of God, I wonder who you are, and I want to get to know you. And this is very much like the dating phase. When you are dating someone, you're wanting to get to know them. You're wanting to acknowledge, like, who is this person? Who are you? What is it that you, what makes you tick? What do you love? What's important to you? What's meaningful to you? How do you function? And the most successful dating comes when we really come with an open mind and a curious heart, and we're not already projecting into the space who we imagine this person to be, or who we want them to be, or the fantasies that we're putting on them. Sometimes that happens. It happens actually more often than not. But this is often what ends up happening when that's the case. We end up getting married, and then all of those fantasies crumble, and then you're faced with actually facing the reality of the person. Often this is the phase of like first luchai, second luchai. There's this imaginary or this fantasy marriage that we think we're stepping into. 6 months down the line, a year down the line, we're faced with the reality of what we actually have. And then comes the beautiful work of integrating, acknowledging, making space for, expanding our capacity to actually be in relationship with our own shadow sides and our spouse's shadow sides, and integrating the duality of existence and coming together in oneness and in light and in connection, breaking down the shells of what we expect or think it should be from our own lens, and actually stepping into what it is and acknowledging the beauty of that existence. And I think that we all go through this kind of process with God. Every single person I've ever met or ever spoken to has gone through a process of having to crumble the fantasy of who they think God is and stepping into what God truly is. And sometimes this process takes years. Sometimes this process comes very intensely for people. Sometimes it's a slow carving process. But what is it? What does that process look like? How do we step out of this phase of acknowledging that maybe the way I'm relating to God might be my own survival lens relationship, and maybe it's not actually what God really is? And so the first thing that we do to step out of this is to first of all acknowledge, what is the God that I relate to in my mind? Who is the God that I relate to in my mind? To have a very, very honest and present awareness, or sitting with oneself and asking ourselves the question, like, how am I relating to God? And what emotions do I feel in this dynamic, in this relation to God? And is this coming from, is there survival energy behind this? Is this coming from fear? Is this coming from disconnect? Is this coming from abandonment? Is this a projection of my own wounds from when I was, the way that I related to my parents? Am I relating to God in the exact same way? What's actually going on in this dynamic? And the more we bring awareness to it, the more we can acknowledge our starting point. This is where I am. This is where I'm holding as far as relating to God. And this is the first step. This is step number one in acknowledging where we are, the I in this picture. And I want to give you a moment to do this now live with me. Take a pen and paper if you have one, or if not, you can just do this in your mind or in your heart, to just take a moment, take a deep breath, And just ask yourself this question. When I think of God, what image comes to mind? What beliefs come to mind? Take a moment to acknowledge how old this relationship feels. How old do we feel with God? Do I feel very, very young? Do I feel very afraid? Do I feel very charged, emotionally charged around this relationship? Do I have a lot of critic in my mind about it? Do I feel open? Do I feel connected? Do I feel curious? What age does that feel? Am I fighting with God? Am I trusting in God? See if you could get a sense of the age. And you also may be aware that there may be different parts of you that have di relate to God from different ages or with different belief systems or different feelings. And I'm going to invite you to, this an important piece of the exercise we're going to do now is to actually speak to God out loud. If it's more comfortable for you, you can close off your cameras for this. To honestly say to God exactly what you're feeling, how you're feeling in this present moment, but to say it out loud so your ears can hear it. To actually use your voice to articulate, to say, "Hi God, this is Devoiri. Of course, use your own names. I'm feeling very young right now in relation to you. I'm feeling," and you just share it in real time, honest presence. So don't say what you think you should say. Don't say what you think is the right thing to say. Don't distort what you're actually feeling in real time. See if you can track it. And if it changes mid-sentence, then you change as well. The exercise is honesty and presence, dialogue with God. And just notice what happens when you do that. If anyone wants to share what that was like for them, I would love to hear what came up for them, what they noticed about this exercise.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm feeling that I'm relating as if it's a parent mostly. You know, my mother, my father, they love me. They're there for me. When I need something, they give it to me. And very often they did not disappoint me. However, right now, I feel like I'm asking God for things. And I know some ways it's like, this is embarrassing. It's a childish behavior to want and to want what I want when I want it, which is now, whether it's a shidduch for my child, which is mostly what I'm asking for. I have children and the disappointment that's involved and the sadness and almost like despair. And I'm thinking, you know, if your kid acted that way, you would think, grow up or, you know, we have a reason. But I'm feeling disappointment. At the same time, of course, with that, it's like I always have that double edge, but I'm thankful for everything I have, and I have gratitude, and I love you, and you're there for me. And so it's really, you know, I'm living in a dual relationship, you know, the mother and father who love you, the teacher who says, or the principal, or whoever it is who says, this is how we run the world. I have a whole school, it's not just you, or, you know, and more discipline or more rules, or so. This is how I'm feeling. I think it's very good. I'm going to try to do it with other people. And then I say, and what is my responsibility? And, you know, where I was actually, this is crazy, but I go to ChatGPT and I'm almost saying to God, to chat, how do you have a relationship with God? Or where do you go? You know, I want to speak to him because this is really upsetting me right now. Okay, that's it. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you for sharing. Someone in the chat shared they feel the exact same way. So this is great. This is bringing into awareness the dynamic, the relational dynamic, that's the starting point. And this is great. Thank you. Dina, did you want to share something? You're on mute, just not sure if you're trying to speak.
So I felt like Hashem loves all of me, even the parts that I hate. And I feel separate because if I was truly connected, I wouldn't hate those parts because they're part of him. And I feel like that's a very young part that feels those things. And what I said to him was that I want to feel so connected to him that I see myself the way he sees me and that I love myself the way he loves me.
Nice. Thank you for sharing. And I love that you just what you explained, that this is very, very true about the feeling separate, because if we feel internally split inside of ourselves, and what I mean by that is that there are parts of ourselves that we really, really don't like, then we find it hard to feel whole with God or with anything or anyone, because everything in this world is a microcosm. Whatever's happening in our internal world is going to be also reflecting in our external world. And these splittings happen inside of our psyche from very, very young when we first come into the world. They're adaptions that we develop in order to stay in connection with our primary caregivers at very young ages. And it's set up this way. And it's set up this way because ultimately, this is what creates our uniqueness in the world. When we have a specific adaptation, let's say, for example, somebody is raised in a world where they don't know how to use their hands, so they use their feet for everything. Now, of course, it's much more challenging to use your feet for everything. However, this person is going to be an expert at using their feet to do things that people usually end up doing with their hands. Their hands might be underdeveloped, but their feet are going to be some have some kind of superpower to them. And this is a part of the development process of this person's soul. Now, often what happens when we go through life is that we start, when we come into an other people, let's say you come into the face with this other people, and you see, wow, everyone else is using their hands and I'm using my feet. Our very childlike parts believe that means there must be something wrong with me. And they immediately go into this place of, why am I different? I don't belong. There's something fundamentally off with my existence. And one of the things, or the beliefs, or the thought processes that can start bringing us into wholeness is the recognition that yes, it may be true that I don't have very good hand skills. However, I have developed in a very unique way. There's challenges and there's gifts in my uniqueness. And the more we're able to sit with the whole of who we are, all the I would say the dark and the light sides, the parts of ourselves that we appreciate and the parts of ourselves that feel pain, that are challenged, that are deeply uncomfortable, that feel lost, that feel primal experiences of abandonment, rejection, the discomfort of being in relationship and also feeling alone at the same time. The more we get comfortable with these parts of our psyche, the more comfortable we are in our own skin, the more whole we feel, the more we're also able to be okay with those, the contrast that we experience outside of ourselves as well in relationships with our spouse, with our kids, and with the world at large. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really, really important piece. And we can definitely look at that in more detail another time. Pessy, did you want to share something?
Yes, thank you. I had a very different experience, and I was actually quite, should I say, surprised. Because I thought like God is settled in me. But when I had to speak, suddenly I couldn't, like I was saying, do you hear me? Do you actually hear me? And I felt suddenly terribly alone. I almost felt like I was Odomerician in this world all alone. And where are you? That was the feeling that I had. I was quite surprised that I, and it started bringing up like a little bit of fear in me. I was like, yeah. I thought it was something that I'm holding more when I actually have to say it with my words. Listen, and I to bring it out, that's what came up. Yes, what were you going to say? Sorry, Nori.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that this is part of the duality of existence. So this sense of separateness that we all feel is built into the very fabric of existence. Because if we didn't experience the separateness, we would experience ourselves to be one with Hashem, which we are. And of course, Hashem is within us. He's not, he doesn't, we don't have to speak out loud for him to know. He can hear all our thoughts. So he's in us. He's part of us. He's in every single cell in our body. He's in every single thought. He's in every single emotion. Our souls are a chelak alokam imal, literally a ray of God's infinite light that exists and is vested within a body. Just with veils and curtains and concealments, these are the tzimtzum, these are the concealments that actually give us a separate sense of self. So if you were going to be saying, God, can you hear, like, the experience of actually not feeling yourself being separate from God, you wouldn't experience you. You wouldn't have a Pessy. And so, of course, ultimately, we do really pray and yearn for sometimes even just one moment, 1 second of actually feeling connected. And those moments are so precious when we actually feel ourselves to be in flow and oneness with God. And these are the precious gifts that we are searching the world for. Honestly, this is what we search the world for, this sense of connection. And this sense of connection often comes from finding that sense of connection within ourselves. And slowly, slowly, we are able to feel more and more in flow with the oneness of all things throughout the course of just the mundane and regular everyday aspects of our lives. So feeling connected and then feeling alone, this is again holding the duality of existence, holding the tension of opposites. The gift of being an I, of being a separate, and also the gift of being in connection. And we would never appreciate either one if we only had one or the other. And so we have this oscillation and we have this separation in order to intensify the pleasure of return, which is what we have, Hasidus explains, is the entire beauty of relationship and the entire point of the world is that when something is concealed, for example, when a person is thirsty, they really, really appreciate a glass of water. They now understand the gift that water is. If someone was never thirsty in the first place, so there's no appreciation of what this water truly, truly is. And so our separation from God and our sense of separateness and our sense of disconnect that we feel is the backdrop for actually enabling us to deeply, deeply appreciate the moments of connection that we do experience. And so they're all part of the the landscape that is so magnificently orchestrated for our experience to play out. Even though, like I said earlier on, we can never be separate from God, because actually nothing exists outside of God. It's not like God is over there in the heavens and I'm down here in this world and this world has its own separate entity. There's not one thing that possibly could exist that is not God. And we all know that this is true as far as understanding that everything is energy. Every single thing that exists in the world is some form of energy or another. And everything is some form of moving particle, atom under a microscope. It's all just energy. And God is all that life force energy. It just takes on different forms and different flavors, depending on the lens that we're looking at the world now. Now with, and an example I always bring because it's so clear, is under a microscope, you're seeing the world through a different lens and you see a whole different picture of reality than if you're looking through your naked eye. You're going to see something completely different, even though it's the same thing happening in the same place, same dimension. Take your own hand and look under a microscope. It's going to look completely different than if you just look at it like this. So there's different perceptions of the exact same thing happening simultaneously all of the time. And this perception that we have right now in this world is that of separateness, so that there can be a searching, a yearning, a growing, a maturation that happens throughout the course of our lives to come into relationship with God as a spouse, face-to-face adult relationship. And that's what we are developing and bringing our attention to now in the month of Elul, which, like I said, is this dating period.
Thank you so much, Rory.
You're welcome. Ruchi.
Yeah, hi. I want to feel my experience. First, when he said,
I'm having trouble hearing you. Ruchi, I'm so sorry, I can't actually hear you at all.
Ruchi, your internet seems a little slow. It's like a little stuck.
Now that being in the month of all of
maybe we can come back to
doing something.
Okay. Okay. Ruchi, I'm trusting that you'll come back online, or maybe write your question in the chat, and I'll ask.
I'll just get go on next.
I feel this is a little how Bruchy is relating to us is how God. We're hearing him, but we're not hearing him clearly all the time. So that's
that.
A good example.
I love it. Thank you. Yes. It's perfect. That's exactly what we needed. Livy, did you have a question?
It wasn't a question, but it was very interesting. It was similar and different to Pessy, of like really feeling like Hashem is like a loving father, like genuinely feeling it. And then finding myself just feeling so alone, like almost like, where are you? But then it kind of deepened into more of the idea that I'm not able to make choices. I don't have power. You're the ultimate power. Like, I have no power. So like, I can't show up in life with choices because I don't have the power. And then when I was talking to God, it was like, it came to a point where I was like, if I'm here and you're in me and you're here, like we're one, so then I should be able to feel that power because I'm you and you're me, like it's one, even though I don't feel it yet. But yeah, it was interesting.
Nice. Yeah, this we don't feel it and yet we know it, and there's something around this dynamic that I think we all experience so acutely. There's even if we explore the deepest levels of our psyche and go deeper and deeper into our subconscious, we're still going to there's still going to be you in your side of your head. There's still going to be the you that thinks. There's still going to be the you that feels. There's still going to be, even if you crumble identities and you let go of limiting beliefs and you go through different parts of your psyche, there's always going to be the you that's ultimately always there. It never shuts off and it never shuts down. And it's just there. And somehow that you always, if you, even if you empty out your mind completely, it's still there. It's just there. And it's almost like that it's in a prison because it's constantly looking and searching for something and it keeps hitting walls. Like there's these curtains we can't go behind. There's something we know and yet we can't access it. And there's such a deep grief in that, that when we really sit with ourselves, we can really feel very, very deeply. And often if we are not, if we don't have a clear mind and we haven't gone through that many layers of peeling inside of our consciousness, we can feel like that sense of aloneness is to do with the people in our lives or the circumstances in our lives or the other challenges in our lives. There can be a lot of noise that we can pin it on or blame it on. Underneath the surface, though, there is a me that is somehow contained in this physical existence, and it is yearning for unification with something so much greater than itself, and it's still anchored here. And this is a great starting point for acknowledging, how do I connect to God from this place? Because the point of us being here is that God wants to connect to us here. The concept of Dira B'Tachtonim, making a home for God in this world, starts within our own psyches. It starts within our own hearts. It starts within our own minds. So how do I make a space for unification, connection, and wholeness within my own mind, within my own heart as a starting point? And this is where we come back to the bringing together or the process of maturation that we were talking about earlier that goes through our lives. We start out in our childhood in a split of there's good and there's bad. We start out with this, I want those things, I don't want those things. We start adapting to try and get all the things that we want. We start building those adaptions and we start building relationships through those adaptions. And whenever the people around us or the situations around us or the experiences around us are not serving our adaptions, we end up experiencing annoyance, anger, blame, frustration, pain towards those things, situations, people, and so on that are not serving our adaptions. Once we go through this process of acknowledging that actually this process, or what is this, asking this question, what actually is this life about? Why am I here? Why did God put me here? Why am I experiencing these challenges? Who is stepping out of the survival, stepping out of how is the world serving me? And starting to ask the question of, who is God? What is this world? What am I here for? What is it? This curious, open state of consciousness. This is where we start the integration process. This is where we really start coming into oneness and unity within ourselves and with God and with all the people in our lives. And it sometimes just looks like this acknowledgement of full presence with the loneliness that exists, the existential loneliness that exists inside of me, instead of trying to get out of myself, to get away from it, coming home to it and bringing presence and compassion to it and saying, this is what the Alter Rebbe talks about this in Tanya, is bringing deep compassion for our souls that are actually within a prison whilst in this world. They're held down or locked here because there's work for them to do. And all they want to do is go back home, go back to where they came from. But what does it take for me to actually turn my eyes inward and bring a tremendous amount of compassion for that part of myself and to just presence with it and to acknowledge we're here for a purpose. We may not understand exactly what it is, but as famously Viktor Frankl asks this question when he is in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, instead of asking, what is it that I want from life, to ask, what is life asking of me? And this is the beginning of coming in with our full wholeness. And our full wholeness means holding the tension of opposites and the duality that exists within our psyche. The dark and the light, the pain and the joy, tears on one side of the heart and joy on the other, coming into wholeness with myself, and then taking that wholeness and coming into wholeness with God. So these are the stages that we're all going through. And to sum up this point, I think the acknowledgement of how can I become less afraid of feeling the discomfort inside of myself? This is the question that brings us back into more wholeness.
Great, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Orly.
I'm just going to step away because I'm with my husband and I just want to have privacy. Okay, so what if, so thank you first of all to everyone for sharing, being so vulnerable, to be so open. It learned so much from each and every one of you. I had a very different experience. Obviously, I'm looking at Hashem's Marabu Masacha Hashem. And my husband and I had been working on tefillah, so I talk to Hashem every day in my Shemana Esrei. Like I'm having a conversation with him. So I felt more, I got extremely emotional because when I was talking, I sort of allowed myself to express all my faults and how hard I've been working and how I know he's been there, like that I'm so grateful and I'm so lucky that I am Zoha, that I have a relationship with a God that Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov and Sarah, Rivka and Rachel and Leah have, all the way down to my Babis and Zadies and my Saftas and Sabas, and all the way down to my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Yisrael and Rebbe Yamin, which is how I start my Shmona Essa every day. So I'm in a place where I feel oneness with Hashem. But what stirred for me was, I know he's listening to me. You know, I'm talking to you and I know you hear me. And I'm trying so hard to be the Bas Melech you know I can be, and you know I'm capable of being, but it's so painful not knowing where I'm disappointing you. Like, I'm trying so hard, and I know you're here, and I know you know I'm trying so hard, but why do you sometimes put me through things in life? And I know, and I said to him, I know you're doing this only to make me a better person. But I need you to help me understand what you want me to be better at. And I can't figure that out sometimes. I think I do so much good and I do so much chesed and I'm kind and I'm caring and I'm empathetic and I try to live in a way that brings your light into this world as a Kiddush Hashem, but when I misstep, I need you to help me see where I misstep weaker, or help me fix it so that I do become what you've put me here to become. And I wish you would give me ways to see that more clearly.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a very deep and heartfelt prayer. Help me to see more clearly. Yeah.
I take my L very seriously. I want to end my year. I want to end my year in a way that I come into Rosh Hashanah. I did good. And I'm ready to do better. But I did good. And I made you proud.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. I can't see you because of the sun.
That's okay. And I wonder how all this part of you feels. I wonder if you were able to access, what is the age this part of me feels?
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I'm in the present and I'm talking to Hashem now. I mean, let me know what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, does it feel like a very young part that is wanting to do? Because there's so many different, I would say, the energy behind what we say. It's not necessarily what we're saying, and you could say the same thing with different energies behind it. So sometimes it could be a very young part that just always feels like it's not getting it right, and it's always afraid of making, like, just thinking that it must be doing something wrong, like something's, or it could be coming from a place of, a present day acknowledgement. Like there's a whole range in between that as well of what it could be. And sometimes when we stop and we feel just what's the energy behind that, it can sometimes give us a lot of clues as to what's actually going on for us. Where is this part of my psyche? And what is it that it is? How is it engaging in this relational dynamic? Is there a trust and a certain sense that, like, I'm partners here with God. God's got my back. We're in this together. We're working as a team. There's a trust, there's a knowing. Or is there a sense of, like, I always feel like I'm catching my tail. I'm never quite getting it right. What is
I think
that?
It's both. I think it's, I think I feel both. I think so much I feel that, you know, the song we sing to our kids, Don't Walk in Front of Me. I feel like I'm always holding Hashem's hand when I'm walking, but I guess it's probably what you're saying. It's really both. It's both. Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess I have to work on the times when I don't feel like I'm holding Hashem's hand, I guess, and that he's not right there next to me, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm just wanting to acknowledge that them together, because what I find is that, you know, I'll just share from my own experience. There was a time in my life where I felt that it didn't matter how much I was doing. I was like trying to do things to get God's attention, almost like I was sitting at the back of the classroom with my hand up saying, like, teacher, pick me, come on. Like, I know the answer. And like, I was just, there was so many kids in the class and wasn't being heard. And I felt like I had to do something really big to get God's attention. And I felt like I had to do something that, I was never getting it right. And until I started understanding this part inside of myself and acknowledging that actually God is right here, like here, I can whisper and he hears me. I don't have to come, the intense activation that sometimes comes through us. Of course it comes through us in waves. This is often coming from these parts of our psyche that feel very alone, very disconnected, very, very far, and are not sensing or integrating that God is right here with me in this place, in this moment, in this second, in this experience, in my thoughts, in my heart, in my tears, in my earnest desire for connection. And that actually when we are in Shemona Esrei, every time we say a blessing, we ask God for something, we immediately say, blessed are you, God, who gives me that thing, right? So we ask God for help, and then we're like, blessed is God, who's the healer. It's immediate, the asking, and then immediately, of course, you will. I know you can, I know you will. This is the setup that God has given us. The Baal Shem Tov actually teaches that there's a very, the most important part of prayer is that the moment you utter a prayer, the moment a prayer comes out of your mouth, it's heard. It's immediately heard, and whatever it is you asked for is immediately tunneling towards you. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to, like, the intensity that it comes with is often parts of our psyche that are more disbelieving in the fact that I'm actually, like, God hears me, God sees me, God's present in my life, God is there guiding me. Like this concept of bitachon, emuna, like I'm being held, I'm being carried, I'm being taken through this process of life. And like, yes, there are waves of pain that move through us as human beings because we don't feel it. And also the moment that we presence ourselves with that feeling, Then we can move into, I'm going to choose trust. Choosing trust is part of coming into the mature relationship with God, is where we say, I'm going to choose to see God's greatness, because
even while in the pain, like to pause and say,
yeah,
like, I guess that's my question. When in the Nitzayan, right? Like my husband always says, if something is too hard, say, Hashem, I can't handle this. I'm giving this back to you. Mm-hmm. It's too much for me. Please take it back. Please handle it. I cannot handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and do that when I'm going through something. And I do feel a sense of, I'm not going to worry about it right now, because Hashem's going to worry about it, because I give it to him. I can't handle this. It's too painful. I'm giving it to him. And when Hashem feels I'm in a better place to deal with it, he'll give me the ability to deal with it. But right now, it's too much. And I need to give it to you. I can't. I wish I had less moments and that I could use the tafkidim he gave me to not have to say that to him, because he knows I can handle it. Hashem knows. He made me capable. He gave me a mission. He has a vision for my life. He's given me the bechira to see that vision that he gave for me, and he has faith that I can accomplish it. I wish I could see what he sees,
right,
that I'm capable of better.
This is a big one. I think this is a very universal and deep, deep prayer on all of our, in all of our hearts. We wish we could see what God sees in us. We wish we could see what God sees in us. And this is to wrap up what we've been speaking about here, because I know we're coming to the end of our
Thank
class.
You.
Thank you. Is that we have multiple layers of consciousness that we all are sifting through inside of our own psyche. We have so many parts of ourselves, and every single place that we find ourselves inside of our psyche, we're going to experience ourselves having a different relationship with God. And the key to recognize is that Hashem is in all of those layers of our psyche. He's in every single one of those places. He's in the dark, he's in the light, he's in the child, he's in the adult, he's in the baby in utero, he's in the amnesia, he's in the survival, he's in the pain, he's in the loneliness, he's in the block, he's in the tzimtzum, he's in the sense of aloneness, he's in every single one of your experiences. Whatever your experience was, he's there. But what we say is, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Hashem is truth and honesty. And when we can show up to the place we're in now, whatever that is, and that could change from moment to moment, change depending on different places we are in our psyche. If we can show up to each moment and acknowledge Hashem is here with me in this place, I don't need to get out of this place to connect to God, to have an honest conversation. I don't have to, like, it's not like I'm here and then I have to get to there so that I could speak to God. I don't have to be in a shul to speak to God. I don't have to be in a space of expansion to speak to God. I can, in the cutness, in the darkness, in the places I find myself, this is the place where I can have an honest, open-hearted conversation with God, and I can acknowledge fully, this is the cutness that you've put me in right now. Cutness meaning the consciousness that might be small. There's Meichen de Godless, which is expanded consciousness, where we see many perspectives and we have an ability to operate from a very mature place, and we have the capacity to fully trust and feel and know and acknowledge God's greatness, and to see outside of ourselves, and to see the details of creation, and to see the wonders of creation, and to acknowledge that this is God, and God is so much greater than that, and that God is within everything, and God is enlivening every single moment of our lives, and he's carrying me and he knows me, and I am just in wonder and awe of how he's unfolding my life for me, and I'm constantly talking to him like a best friend standing by my side. And then there's moments of cutness where we feel lost, confused. We don't know anything. We feel we're just like grappling in the dark, and we're saying, God, where are you? Where are you? All we know is our survival instincts. All we know is the walls that we find ourselves in. All we know is the pain that we're experiencing. And And for us to acknowledge and to recognize that this is also a place where God is. God is the concept of Dira Petachtain and making a home for God in the lowest places, mean even in the deepest and darkest densities of our own psyche. And to say, what would happen if I stopped and I became present for a moment and I just acknowledged this moment fully for what it is, without thinking it should be something different, without trying to run away from it, without trying to make it something that it's not, to fully presence with it, with the light and the dark, with the pain and the joy, and to have an honest conversation with God. These are the places that we're going to start feeling those sparks of connection, those little sparks of, wow, God is here with me in this place. And this is the beginning of us finding a real authentic connection, a real authentic connection where we can actually experience that sense of, like, we can exhale and just be here in this place with God, whatever this place is. And this is how we're starting to build these true authentic relationships with God, which is me here as a separate human being. In my, of course, as it's like the consciousness of separateness, but it's not actual separateness, but I'm experiencing myself to be separate. I'm experiencing myself to be in my dark corners of my own psyche. And I'm saying, and there's a you, there's something outside of myself, God. You're, of course, a part of me, but I'm in relationship to you. And this, of course, exists inside of myself. It exists outside of myself. There's the connection with God on the internal level, which is the internal light, the Or Panimi. And then there's the Or Makif. There is the surrounding light. There's the expansive light. And when we say the shame Yuchud Kodesha Baruchu Shechinte, what we're referring to is actually unifying the parts of God that are invested in all of creation. So when I say L'shem Yichud, I want to make a unification between the Shechinta. The Shechina is the divine consciousness that's actually embodied within me. The Shechina is the soul of every living being. So that's the inner light, the Or Panimi. And then we have Kodesh HaBaruch Hu, which is this soiv of light. It's the light that surrounds everything. It's too expansive to be invested within an actual form, to be invested within actual creation. And both are one, both are God. But through the process of creation, God created filters that separate these two lights so that this would intensify the pleasure of return, them coming back into unification. And we say this verse, the Shem Yichud Kodesh HaBaruch Hu Shechinte, before we do any mitzvah, before we pray. What does that mean? I'm taking myself, me, who I am now, Ani, this consciousness that I'm in, however evolved it might be or unevolved it might be, however fragmented it might be or however light, it doesn't matter. I'm taking the me where I am now in this very present moment. And I'm connecting now to the Kodesh HaBaruch Hu, the surrounding light that is holding and containing and much greater, much more vaster than I could, my human brain can possibly understand, even for 1 second. And I'm just bringing awareness of that unification. And that unification could only happen because there's a sense of separateness. So honoring this state of consciousness that we're in and honoring the fact that this is a lifelong journey. Every single year we have another Elul. This is the frequency of this month. It's like going out in the field, going out for walks with God, going into the world and seeing the beauty of nature and saying, God, who are you? What are you? What is the life was behind every single thing that exists? The sunrise, the sunset, every leaf, every ant, every single blade of grass that is blowing in the wind has life force inside of it. And I'm part of this cosmic oneness. Every single cell in my body, every single skin cell, blood cell, there's life in me and I'm part of this. And yet I experience the Ani. I am separate and I want to connect with you, to my beloved. I want to be with my beloved. And this is the dance. This is the dynamic and this is the courtship. And every single year when we come around to this month, we're always going to find ourselves in a slightly different place because throughout the whole year, we go through a carving. We go, it's like a potter's wheel. We go through a revolution of, you know, how a potter's wheel has to go around many times until that pot is actually developed in a beautiful way. But each time you're carving a little bit more, you're carving a little bit more. And so this every single Elul is an opportunity for just another carving, a deeper awareness, a more authentic connection, really coming into deep authenticity in our relationship with God and developing and building on that courtship as we go through the year. So thank you, everybody, for being here and being a part of this class, and for those who shared so beautifully. It's so helpful when people share, because then we feel less alone and we realize we're actually more similar than we think. And it's been beautiful to be here with everybody today.
Thank you, Tafari.
Thank
you. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. We really appreciate it. Please check your email. We have another exciting LL class next week with Rabbi Mordechai Berg. Hope to see everyone there.
So incredible.